My name is Jordy Blaine, and I'm here to assist you while you listen to the Assist podcast. Our topics range from success, failure, health, life, and everything in between. I'm here to assist you in all that life has to offer. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Assist podcast. I am your host, Jordy Blaine. We are back after the new year, ringing in 22 just right with another amazing episode for you. And I am super excited to be back, and I am super excited to have our guest return with us for her second Assist podcast, Carrie Silverman. Hi, Carrie. Hey. Yes. Please take a bow.
I did. I mean, it's a podcast, so you can't see me bowing, but I bow.
As deserved.
I am doing fantastic. Probably a little chillier up here in Idaho compared to what you're experiencing where you're at.
Yep, it's like 65 and sunny today.
Oh, man. That reminds me of a song, but I won't digress too much because we're here. We're here to talk about, we're talking about building communities, right?
Yep. And that's why I was excited to have you on, because like I met you in like a way that I don't usually meet people, through kind of like a referral. And then we obviously podcasted last time and we totally hit it off. And so you are just like so wise, so easy to talk to. So we're just extremely happy you're here. So thank you.
Well, thank you for having me back. And I'll tell you what, the people that I've met through Mike and Sarah and, you know, through building my own personal mini community or network. Some people call it a network. You know, I think that community is such, like, the principles around building community is how we all kind of build our networks in general. But if you're building it with these community-mindedness, then you're able to, it's repeatable. And when you have breakdowns, you can identify them. I think that we can use things like culture and community in a kind of an ethereal way. And that is sounds nice, but it's not always useful. It's not always useful.
So, what does community mean to you?
To me, community is you have like your larger communities, which would be, say, the entire Facebook. That is an entire community, right? And within that huge community, people have these little sub-communities, right? And then you personally have your smaller community. You know, you might have 300 friends, but your closest community is going to be the 15 that pop up the most, you know, on your feed.
Right.
So, like, from a really high-level basic thing. And then within those communities, you work, you have nodes that are all working together towards a common objective. And everybody who is participating in that feels safe, heard, taken care of.
Right,
so
welcome.
To me, that is what a community is. No matter where you are geographically, that can apply to a lot of different things, from your customers to your employees and yourself. Like, you have to be your own community too. Starts with being a community of one, I think, and your behaviors. And how you kind of grow that outwards.
I think I love that, because it's like, I think, you know, people are like, I want to grow. I want to have like a huge platform / community. But you're right. Like, it does just start with one person, and it doesn't, you know, it takes time to evolve that and find to be in your community. You know, you don't want it overnight.
Right. Well, and Sarah's really into self-growth.
Yep.
And that, I think that speaks volumes about her leadership. And how she's growing herself and growing that ability to lead communities, because she's so energetic about that self-growth. And that's just, that's huge, because you start with yourself and then you add a person and add a person. Yeah. And then maybe the three of you will go join another community and as a unit add your value there. So it's resource and value exchange. Whether or not money changes hands, if you aren't getting value from a community or putting value into a community, that community doesn't grow and thrive and stay. It has no staying power. Another way of thinking of community is network effects. And actually, some of the things that we're going to talk about today on how to make that kind of a repeatable process, I took from Gigi at NFX. He is a managing partner, and he does this really great 15-minute whiteboard on YouTube. So if you search NFX, the letters, And you can find like his take on this. Now, I'm kind of expanding it from a CEO perspective to how these could apply to your customers, your employees, as well as your leaders, you know, that leadership, or even just a singular solopreneur who's building a community around a certain idea. Okay.
Yep.
So, so I am borrowing some of his terms and some of his visuals, but I think that I'm going to try and expand that application a little bit.
Cool. I love it.
So starting with like management. So if I think about managing a community or leading a community, I don't think it's one or the other.
Yes.
You really need both. And I think that you can start with the nuts and bolts of management, and then leadership kind of revolves around it. So, and I think of these as cycles. So they're continually going, and the life, wherever you're at in the timeline or lifeline of what you're building, kind of determines how often you're going to like repeat these cycles. And I think that that's something that's kind of a case by case basis, and trial and error. Definitely. If you're younger in your lifeline, then you're going to want to repeat these cycles as often as possible. As you kind of mature and you expand, you could probably slow them down a little bit. So if you think about that, just remember to apply that to as a startup leader or CEO or as my fan got really loud all of a sudden. Can you hear it? Are we getting weird noise?
I feel like I can hear it a little bit. Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. I've been
No worries.
No. Anyway, so if you guys hear a shh in the background, it's because the laptop's trying to overheat. anyway, so like applying that, applying that to your customers, your employees, and then yourself and your like C-suite team as you kind of build that. So, you know, use your imagination and be like really broad when you think about these concepts and how they can really be universally applied. So when you start with management, you're going to like create a strategy.
Okay.
And you're going to define that strategy, and you're going to check that strategy regularly. And then you're going to have a, a team. Hold on. Let me grab my other note here.
You're good.
I had to write this down because I wanted it to be really specific. Again, because I think usability is really important. And the last time I joined you here, I just kind of gave you like my background and why.
Well, that's why we had you on.
So I like to think that this one is going to be really applicable. All right. Let me blow this up a little bit. Okay, good. I did get them all down. So, so like I said, the first thing you're going to do is define and check your strategy. Now, strategy is a little different than tactics, but we can get into that later. Okay. And then you're going to recruit and verify your humans, your team, your users, if you're creating a platform like Mike and Sarah are. So you're going to like recruit those people, and then you're going to verify them. And by verify them, that's like checking in and making sure that your base users really understand what they're using and why. So by having that strategy, the first step, you can check against that, right? And then you're going to set goals, and then you're going to adjust those goals as you go. So like you set goals to have so many people on your platform, but you also want to set goals on like their behaviors within it.
Okay.
So you got to figure out how to measure people's emotions.
Right.
Or what behaviors are reflecting certain emotions, because that's the only way you're really truly going to be able to help grow people in your community or create a community that you envision. So then you're going to assist people where needed. So when you see people, assist where needed is straight out of that YouTube video that I referred to earlier.
Yeah.
So that's why I was like, oh, this is so perfect, because it really does concrete what Mike and Sarah are building. And so you're going to assist people where needed. And how I see them really doing that is they get their employees or their gig workers for their platform that they're building directly from their own platform. And the objective there is to help people make money And so they're feeding that process. And I think that that is so important to be able to assist people. And then assist any of your employees. So you have your customers, your users, you're assisting your employees, you assist yourself with your self-growth, and then you monitor progress. And I think we could really get into the weeds with monitoring progress, because I think that being experimental with your key performance indicators and kind of changing those out and not becoming really stagnant on a certain data set is really going to help you maximize this process or cycle, if you will. So that's kind of like at the core of the two part, the two pieces to this. So then you have like the what's orbiting that, and that's not so much management, but that's where your leadership comes in. And so the components of the leadership is looking at your people and the vision and the culture. Again, to make it more usable, we can break those down a little bit. When you're looking at people, you're going to look at who you're like hiring, who you're bringing in, who you're inviting. And I think that it's super important when you're starting out to look at specific users. You don't want users for users' sake at first.
Yes, I totally agree.
I think that you want users that are going to reflect in their behavior the type of community that you're trying to build.
Yep.
And so I think it's okay to say no.
Yep.
Sometimes.
I love that, Gary. Hey,
come on in, try our beta. Okay, that's not really getting us to where we want. You know, we do have this person that is using it the way that we want to see it go forward.
Yep.
And this person isn't so much. So maybe we'll ask them to rejoin at a later time. Totally. And I think that that's something that is forgotten when people are building platforms. They just want everybody to come and use. Well, if you can't tend to those people, if you can't care for those people, which is actually the second piece of being a people leader, is caring for them, and you can't listen to them really deeply and really closely because there's so much noise and you have all these users that are kind of partially using your platform the way that you want it to be used, you just can't. To me, it's not about controlling. It's about being able to manage that at first. And as you know, you start out as like one or two people, you know,
small.
But if you can get, if you can get your users to be the second layer of your team, you are small but mighty.
Right. Totally.
And so being able to really work with people right at first.
Yeah.
I think is super important. And I also believe that going forward, because of just how human nature is, people who aren't in that same sort of vibe as they join are not going to use it as much. And I think that we have to remember that that's okay. We want to get to 10,000. We want to get to 10,000 users. But 10,000 quality users
is better than
everybody is getting value is going to be, it might take longer. It might take longer. But it's going to be so much more valuable.
Yes.
So much more valuable. And I think that, and this is just pure speculation on my part, I think that the Facebooks of the world have showed us what is possible. I would be really surprised if platforms go that big. Because I just don't think it's useful to our society on that level.
Right.
Now, we know it can be done. And I think that's awesome. And that's what makes humans so fucking fun. Pardon my French. You have to
You're good.
That's what makes humans fun, is that we're too big for our britches sometimes. But I think what makes us, I think what will glue us together is just noticing the usefulness and being able to adapt to useful things from there. Scale it back down again. We don't always have to go big and never come back down. You know, being really flexible with it. So keeping in mind people will collect to other like people, and people tend to stick to norms and status quos within each kind of group. If you think about how like you act at work compared to how you act with your girlfriends that you've had for the 15 years,
right,
you know, you are still you. You're still you.
Yes.
Tailor yourself and your behaviors to what that looks like. And so if you're trying to build something with a specific vision in mind, then you want to make sure that you're initially creating that foundational about like behaviors. Yep. So the other part of that, I guess I kind of talked a little bit about vision, but it's about being able to state that in words and exemplify that in behaviors and then mm-hmm. verify it throughout. So that that's not just necessarily a quantifiable quiz mm-hmm. for your users, right. You know, like a 3-question quiz. That might be more of a like qualifying conversation, you know, to see if they truly understand what the vision is and what the why is for the platform.
Right.
If you're not having those conversations and verifying that you've made that clear, then you don't,
you don't know what's going on.
You don't know if you've made that clear. All you see is like behaviors, and then you're like, it's not really, I'm not getting results.
Or the it's not going to trickle down to the foundation you want.
Yeah, and the people that are using it aren't getting the results that they expected from what they were told initially. Yeah, so I think that, and I think that that's tricky, and I think that it's nuanced, and I think that it, there's no hard fast, because that's, you have like a big bucket, and then you have to kind of manipulate the things within the bucket, you know?
Yes.
And I think that leadership and growing yourself and growing yourself as leadership, you kind of learn what you need for each scenario as you go, if you're cognizant of it. So then the last part is culture. And I love thinking about culture as having obviously a lot of those nuanced components within it, right? But there are four kind of cornerstones that I think are really important to look at. And that is collaboration, right? Transparency, self-awareness. So like for the individual, but then also like collective self-awareness.
Yes. Yeah.
Like the community that you're building, are they aware?
Right.
You know, are they because are they involved? Page. Are they engaged? Are they and then how optimistic are you and that community of what is happening action wise all around you? And I think that from an individual stance and then from a community stance, there is like, I think that's really consistent within there. So when you think about collaboration, collaboration is anything that you can do where 1+1 equals more than 2, equals many, equals exponential. Yep. And so when Mike and Sarah talk about collaboration, I really see that being more than just purchasing a service or a gig basis task from somebody. It's going into that app and being like, I have this problem and I'm not even really sure what I don't know about it. I don't know what I don't know. And so you go in and then somebody's like, well, I can help with this thing that I think might be your solution. And then somebody else is like, well, I can help in this way, which might be your solution. And you might use a little piece of both of them. And that's about sitting down and being like, okay, well, you offered me this service and it's you laid it out like this, but I think I only need this one little piece. Can we work on collaborating and figuring out a price that works in that way? And then you might use a piece from the other person's suggestion. And I think that is the beauty and the difference between, say, a regular gig platform and a community-based platform like Assist the App. So that's why I believe so fully in what they're trying to do.
I know.
Because there just isn't enough of that out there.
And they're like working so hard. It's for anyone who didn't listen to our episode as we end in New Year's, you should definitely go listen to that because Mike and Sarah have just made huge strides in the last like 7 months that I've known them. And so it's just very, very exciting to see. And Carrie's a part of that too, which is obviously how we got connected. Carrie, can you kind of tell us a story about maybe how you've seen a business kind of grow a community from the start, from the bottom up?
You know, I knew this question was coming too, and I was kind of dreading it a little bit because I feel like it's everywhere. So I was like, I kind of tried to address it at the beginning a little bit because I do that it's like everywhere. And then as far as like super successful ones, I really think that we've seen a lot of things rise to large levels of success. and then break down kind of in the maintenance.
Yes, absolutely.
In the maintenance piece. And I think honestly, like if you want to, let's just go super generic and super big. Facebook is a perfect example of that.
Totally.
Like,
yeah.
It does get bigger than you.
Yes.
And I think that if you start from your smallest, most nuclear sense and creating first these ideas and then processes within the ideas and then procedures on how to create those processes. So as you grow, you're able to stay on the offense instead of being reactive to things and then trying to figure out how to solve problems. The idea is to create a community where it self-corrects.
Love that.
And so I think that to tell you the honest truth, I don't think I've seen like a company 100% like successfully start that way, maintain that way, and then change out leadership and still stay that way.
Oh, yeah, right. No,
sometimes
definitely.
When a person leaves, I mean, Steve Jobs is a perfect example. When he left, it changed, and then he came back, and it changed again, and then, you know.
Right.
And then, how do you leave a legacy after you've already moved to something else to build? And how do you have that vision stay really, and how do you know who to get investors from? And how do you know who a good person to sell to? I think that we are entering this era of social responsibility where people aren't just selling for the money of it. They really want to know that what they've built has become hardwired.
Yeah.
So to speak. And so being really flexible at the beginning so that that hardwiring is self-correcting at towards, you know, the end of the life cycle. Well, and I don't even want to say the end of the timeline, just further along that lifeline.
Yeah.
I think that that's so important to keep in mind. So all you other like entrepreneurs and builders out there, like remember that these foundations really do create those touch points that when things start breaking down, you can always go back to basics.
Yeah.
Because they do, they get big and they get complex. And and you have to complicate the complexity.
Right.
You have to be able to know what your smallest unit of measure is so that you can make those adjustments and then expand it back out again. If that makes sense and it's not too like macro.
Yeah. No. I understood what you were saying. So for the people listening that are like, you know, they want to grow their community, how can they take what you're saying and kind of slowly but surely roll it out so it's not like this big cloud over their head? Like go kind of what we said, like building overnight. That's not what we're doing. We're slow but steady wins the race on building this impactful community that you're trying to do. How can people slowly roll all of this out?
Intentional hustle. Intentional hustle. So start with like, don't just build something for building's sake.
Sure.
Like, don't just do it for the likes, right? I think that's pretty well like established norm these days. Yes. Is not using your likes as a metric or your visits as a metric. It's what happens on those visits. You know, it's not just that somebody clicked on a YouTube video. It's how long did they stay in it?
Sure. Yep.
And really looking at that and getting to know those people on some level. Don't just guess. Don't just guess by their demographics. Get to know them and their values and why and how you guys mesh. So really focusing on one-to-one building and then making those connections. So find something that you care about. Really have your why. Really have your vision. And then meet up with people that maybe don't exactly fit in with that, but that feel like they're adding to that in some way.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So find those people next and then branch out from there and continue to self-grow. And I think the redefining is really important. Where I started as a coach and what I'm focused on now has really evolved. Because I allowed it to. And I just think that that self-awareness piece, so really aware of what it is that you want, and then being really open to how you get there.
Mm-hmm.
and allowing each component as you bring it in to add some sort of value in unexpected ways. Does that kind of answer?
Yes. Yes.
You know, like without yes, thinking of a specific industry or we're like,
yeah, because no, that I know can a lot apply.
People who are solopreneurs who are building like a one-to-many sort of community. And then you've got people like Sarah and Mike who are building like a many-to-many space. But then in their back office, they're doing like a team-to-many as they build up their back office, air quotes for those of you.
Yep.
I just did air quotes there. I can't really, you know, you have kind of two sides of that coin. And so I think I'm hoping that I explained it in the broadest way, applicable way possible.
I think you did. For my last question, Carrie, will be kind of like, you know, for people like Mike and Sarah, they already have their it's starting to do well. When I met them, they were at like less than like 20 users. Now they're at 1200. So how can people keep the momentum of creating a community?
I think for Mike and Sarah, at the point that they're at, I think it comes down to really looking at each of those 1200 current users that they have. Mm-hmm. Because if they can get those people seeing results and success that are aligned with Mike and Sarah's vision, then those people are going to bring in more people. You don't necessarily have to be the person as a CEO or a startup founder, be the person to get every single person onto your platform.
Right.
As a matter of fact, it's more powerful to have those 1,200 users bring in a couple of people each.
Yes.
Because they're going to bring in other like-minded people. But if they're not helping to create that vision that you see as a founder or a CEO, then they're going to bring in more people that aren't aligned with it. Honestly, and it might sound kind of daunting, like I would try to get FaceTime with every single one of those people in one way or another, whether it's a 5-minute conversation, whether it's throwing up a calendar and letting them come to you. Like, hey, I'm not making any money. Are there ways that I can do better or connect with people better or, you know, really listening to them and not, and this is something that I really struggle with. So I'm saying this out of both sides of my face, knowing that this is something that I'm working on.
Right.
And that is not coming in automatically with a solution, but like presenting where the problem is and then seeing what they say to you first. Because a lot of times, like if you ask a pointed question, they're just gonna be like, yeah, sure, fine, whatever. But if you just illustrate the problem and then get input, you're going to have a lot more, it may seem a little obtuse at first, but you're going to have a lot more data points to work with, a lot more performance indicators that you can choose from. Because like whether or not money is being exchanged doesn't necessarily indicate whether or not that community is growing in a productive and aligned way.
I agree.
Did that answer the question? I was like, whoa, did I go way far?
You're like, where am I?
My brain was like, it tries to solve all these problems at once, and then sometimes I lose track of what's coming out of my mouth.
No, it's great. And that's why, like, I'm so thankful that I can say, like, you are part of my community now, that I met you through Mike and Sarah. And it's just, like, those special things that it's, like, you meet someone that lives in the same area you grew up in, of course, never had a thought about them, but now it's, like, oh, my God, you know, now I have this person. And that is from the community. Yeah, I know, literally. So it's a very special concept, and, like, we have seen it work, you know, and I guess I'm thankful for Mike and Sarah's platform that, like, they're connecting people around the world.
Right.
To assist, you know.
And you know, like, I'm doing this because I believe in what they believe.
Same.
You know, and so we are not employees.
Right.
Of Mike and Sarah.
Right.
You know, we see their vision and we're sharing their journey and giving input to others in their community, that they can grow businesses or grow themselves or create income for themselves out of nothing. It's so amazing to be anybody is a startup if you're creating something out of nothing.
Yeah.
And there's no like rule book on how to create something out of nothing.
It's just yours.
Yeah. But I think that there are processes that make it more likely that you're going to, just being able to, you know, people who use that app to be able to come to a podcast and hear that transparency. So that's a part of the culture with Assist the app, right? Is that transparency. Yep. So they get to hear the people who are building transparently explaining the hiccups and stuff. And I think that as problems arise, it just creates so much more engagement and involvement if you understand why the people, why things are the way that they are.
I totally agree.
For me personally, why is so very important. Some people really like, you know, they just want to show up and like have things work and then go home.
Right.
But I think that as humans, we're kind of waking up to the fact that we're cheating ourselves if that's all we're doing.
Well, it's like we want to be intentional.
Yeah. With any space in our lives, if we're just showing up and going through the motions,
I'm not going to be happy. I'm not going to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it might feel easy at first, but you definitely reach a point in your life where you're like, actually, I think I want to do things the hard way for more richness.
What?
And that could be in wealth, or it can be in experience.
Right. Well, Carrie, thank you so much for, again, being part of my community, coming on here and chatting with us about like what people can do to grow theirs. And you know we will have you back for a third episode. So thank you so much.